Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Smart Eyewear Highlight, sponsored by Innovative Eyewear, developer of cutting-edge Lucid Bluetooth glasses for music, calls, and AI access. Lucid Eyewear is convenient, multifunctional, and user-friendly, meeting the needs of the optical, hearable, and digital assistant markets. Innovative Eyewear, NASDAQ trading symbol LUCY, Lucy. Web address lucid.co. That's LUCYD.co. The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is Hotel Mars. I'm John Batchelor with David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. And we're speaking with an author of a new book, Off Earth, Ethical Questions and Quandaries for Living in Outer Space. Erica Nesvold is the author. She is also an astronomer. But she has written a book looking at ethics in colonization. There wasn't much when the Americas were colonized. In fact, I can't find any in the 500 years of the exploitation of both the people and the environment that was here before the Europeans came. However, one of the details I learned from an excellent review of Erica's book in Nature magazine, the premier peer-reviewed magazine on planet Earth, probably in the solar system soon enough, is that Erica's involved herself into involved her book into avoiding the mistakes of colonization. Erica, that's a wonderful ambition. How do we do it? Do we get everybody together and say we're not going to be conquistadors and wipe out everybody?
Well, I think one key is to make sure that everyone involved in space exploration or in planning for space exploration has actually studied the history of colonization on Earth, particularly before they want to start using narratives of colonization for talking about space. Most of us in the US here have learned some part of it in our school history classes, but it really is important to look, take an objective view, an unfiltered view of the history of colonization across the world, including in North America, and see what harms it caused and what are the aspects of this colonial mindset that led to these harms. A lot of people argue that, well, if there's no indigenous people in space, then colonization is not a problem because colonization was, of course, the worst for the colonized peoples. But there's a lot of other parts of colonization that can cause harm. Colonization causes a lot of harm to the environment. It causes a lot of harm to other people involved in the process in North America that included enslaved people and women and workers. And so just analyzing our mindset and thinking about why we want to go to space, what we think we're owed from space and what we have a right to and what we don't. These are all very important questions.
Yes, you make a critical distinction between settling and colonizing. How so, Erica?
Yeah, this can feel sometimes like it's just quibbling over language. And I tend to prefer the word settlement. I use the word space settlement instead of space colonization. That's really just as a reminder to myself every time I say the phrase to think about the history of colonization and the ways that it caused harm and what we want to avoid repeating in outer space. Now, there's problems with the word settlement, too. It's not an apolitical word here on Earth today. And you can use the word settlement all you want and still conduct activities that are really colonization. So it's not just about language, but for me, it's an important reminder in a way to show that I've thought about these issues.
David, you have a question.
Since we're talking about Mars, does the toxicity of the Martian environment compel people going there for settlement to be more cooperative, more interdependent, maybe even more considerate of an environment that is so hostile to humans? Can the environment make up some of the shortfalls that you're talking about?
I think this is a really fascinating question, and I think we won't find out until we get out there and the sociologists can start studying the space settlers. I think there's certainly a possibility that because humans living in space together will be, it'll be so important for their survival to work together and to have a more communal effort. It's possible that culture in space will evolve in a more community-oriented direction, and that they'll have better teamwork, for example, and less conflict. On the other hand, it's also possible that the way that we build our habitats in space will lead to more oppression, for example, if the life support system is really centralized and controlled by a small number of people. You can imagine how that could lead to a lot of oppression and social control. So I don't think we can just count on the fact that the environment will make us better people, but it'll be interesting to see how our cultures and values change.
What are the philosophers' opinions of the first human being born on Mars? Is that a Martian?
Well, that's an interesting question. I you'd have to ask the philosophers that. I don't consider myself a philosopher. I consider myself an astronomer who dabbles in philosophy. I think that we can get into arguments long into the future as people live and evolve in space. We can start having arguments about evolution and whether there's a difference between Martian humans and terrestrial humans. But for me, as someone who's more interested in the ethics of the problem, I think the important thing is for us to always remember that doesn't matter where you were born or what you look like, you're still a person. So the personhood of everyone involved in this process is the priority for me.
I was attracted to your response to Alexander Witsi of the Nature magazine about reproductive rights in space. I think that's a rich topic, and we're going to get there, Erica.
It really is. It's farther in the future than a lot of the other topics I talk about, but it's really fascinating because we don't know whether we can have children, healthy children in space. And we also don't really know how to even figure that out in an ethical way, because when it happens, eventually it'll be experimentation on a pregnant person and a fetus. And that's generally frowned upon by bioethicists.
David, you have a question. We have a couple of minutes.
The issue of having the children in space is a big ethical issue. Children cannot consent if you're looking for informed consent. Right now, the Outer Space Treaty says the launching government controls everything that everyone does under that launch agreement, meaning the U.S. government would be responsible for everything that happens that an American launching company did to get on Mars. Does that mean that the U.S. government has ethical decision-making on an American launch that went to Mars and people decided to have children? Can the U.S. government take steps to require no pregnancies? Can the U.S. government make you sign waivers so they're not financially responsible for what you do? This is an important clause in the OST, making the governments responsible. Does that include our personal behavior when we start settlement?
Well, that's an excellent question for a space lawyer, I would say. I wouldn't be able to speculate myself on how the laws would turn out. Certainly, the Outer Space Treaty says that activities by non-government entities in space require the authorization and continuing supervision of their launching state's government. And so when we start talking about people having personal lives in space, there's still a lot of questions, which I've heard space lawyers debate about how much continuing supervision you actually need. What does that really mean when people are just living their lives in between work shifts on Mars? So we'll find out. I think we're still a ways away from that. I think everyone is concerned about the risks involved with attempting to have children in space. But it'll probably catch up to us faster than we expect.
Erica Nesvold, the author of Off Earth, Ethical Questions and Quandaries for Living in Outer Space, MIT Press 2023. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. the social, the scene.